Sports Radio.
I'm Kim Cartwright. A cybersecurity expert says it's possible some Australian organisations have been affected by a global malware attack but are staying tight-lipped. The so-called ransomware has wormed its way into thousands of computer systems in an apparent extortion plot, shutting users out unless they coughed up a payment. University of Melbourne computing expert Dr. Sulette Dreyfus believes it was possible local organisations had been hit, only they're keeping it under wraps because they don't want to instil a lack of trust in their system. Overseas, and the fallout from the cyber attack continues. More from the BBC's Danny Aberhart.
The ransomware attack is thought to be the biggest of its kind. It's caused havoc worldwide, especially in parts of Europe and Asia. The French carmaker Renault has been forced to halt production at some of its sites. It's also caused disruption at banks, universities, government ministries and hospitals. But Britain's National Health Service, which was badly hit on Friday, is beginning to return to normal. A researcher in Britain managed to halt the malware's spread, partly by accident, by registering an internet domain he'd noticed in its coding. However, he's warned that respite may only be temporary, as the cyber criminals might try to adapt their software.
A man recently deported from the UK says he will plead guilty to a string of armed robberies across Sydney more than 30 years ago. Ian John Peter Steele, now 58, was charged over nine robberies between 1982 and 87 when he returned to Sydney on Friday. He's also accused of escaping from a Darlinghurst court and assaulting two people, including a police officer, on the same day in 1983. He had stolen from numerous businesses, including a Summerhill TAB using a sawn-off firearm. In 1986, he allegedly escaped from Long Bay Jail and within a week robbed a New South Wales Department of Housing building while armed with a handgun. Police are appealing for witnesses to a one-punch attack near Wollongong that has left a man fighting for life. The 42-year-old was punched and fell to the ground, hitting his head at a licensed venue on the Princes Highway at Kembla Grange around 4:20 yesterday. He was taken to Wollongong Hospital, where he remains in a critical condition. Sydney girl Anya Nissen has performed in the Eurovision Grand Final for Denmark, sandwiched between the two favourites, Italy and Portugal. Nissen, a 21-year-old from the Blue Mountains, sang the massive power ballad Where I Am as she represented her parents' home country and preceded Australia's entrant Isaiah Firebrace. Wearing a long flowing red dress, the Voice Australia winner looked confident, performing in front of a 50-second long waterfall of fireworks, the longest in Eurovision history. New research suggests a high level of ignorance around food allergies could be putting countless lives at risk. 4 in 5 Australians admit they wouldn't recognise the signs of a potentially fatal reaction, and the vast majority, 69%, wouldn't know how to help. Maria Said from Allergy and Anaphylaxis Australia says it highlights the need for greater awareness and education.
Our research shows us that there's a critical need for widespread community education. Everyone needs to be allergy aware, and attending to an allergic reaction should be common first aid knowledge, just like CPR.
Also in news, a 39-year-old Brisbane woman has been remanded in custody after a stabbing spree which has left one man dead and 4 others injured. This is AIR News. He saw it coming, but nothing could quite prepare livid coach Craig Bellamy for what he described as Melbourne's worst defensive effort in his 14-year tenure. Bellamy said he would give his lazy players one last chance before wielding the axe after their 38-36 NRL loss to Gold Coast Titans last night. However, the furious Storm mentor vowed to thrash Melbourne at training after the latter leaders let slip a 36-28 lead with 10 minutes left. In other results, Panthers 36 beat Warriors 28 and Broncos 24 beat the Eagles 14. Adelaide coach Don Pike has defended his star player Rory Sloane after the midfielder was again locked down by a hard tag in last night's 41-point loss to Melbourne. He collected only 11 disposals, tagged out of the game by one-time teammate Bernie Vince. Vince's tag came a week after North Melbourne deployed similar tactics on the Crows prime mover with similar success. Also in AFL, wins yesterday to Hawthorn, St Kilda, GWS and Essendon. He has played only 40 minutes of rugby this season, but Melbourne Rebels coach Tony McGahn says Sean McMahon will be ready for the Wallabies' June tests. The 22-year-old made his long-awaited return after finally overcoming ankle surgery followed by a knee injury. He came off the bench at blindside flanker for the Rebels' second half with his leg drive pumping up his team for a late surge. They ultimately fell short 29-24, but McMahon played with his usual aggression and tenacity. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather on this Mother's Day. Cloudy, areas of fog early this morning, mainly in the west. There's a good chance, unfortunately, of some showers later in the day. 4 to 15 mils potentially. But on this cloudy Mother's Day, we're heading for a top of 21 degrees in Sydney. Jimmy, what's the current temperature in Balmain?
Mm-hmm.
And for lovely Mr. Smith's hometown of Bowral?
Balmain, currently mostly cloudy, 14 degrees, an expected maximum of 18 degrees. And as you mentioned, maybe a chance of rain or in Balmain. But in Bowral, shower or two today, and a maximum temperature of 13 degrees. It's chilly, Raymond.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Burr!
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it.
See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks worth of the man shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Harvey Norman's massive clearance outlet is open 7 days. It's the only one in Sydney and it's at Mascot. Full of manufacturer's seconds, ex-display stock, scratch and dent, factory refurbished units and end-of-line run-out models. It's all cheap, cheap, cheap and price to clear. Fridges, washers, TVs, computers, furniture, bedding and flooring. And lots, 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 lots more, lots more. Harvey Norman's clearance outlet, Gardeners Road, Mascot.
Milos Nikovic, Rolanta available, can hit them from long range, will try one, what a goal, what a superb goal by Josh Rolanta, it's just his second in the Hyundai A-League, and it is a peach.
It's one corner remaining for Chaz Mostert, 250 hard fought kilometres, and super cheap auto racing is
well
victorious,
done. Well done.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Woohoo! We are here and a big happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, Raymond.
Smith, at your house, not at the freezing cold Bower.
No, she's not at freezing cold Bower. We read our Bower, but Mummy's down. She spent yesterday afternoon with us at the Fatima Fun Fair, mm-hmm. the school fete, Raymond, and she'll be waking up this morning. Well, she'd have probably been woken up by a kid, I'd say. And, of course, to Tracy as well, a big happy Mother's Day. And
happy
you.
Mother's Day to my mum. She'll be listening, hopefully. It's early up there in Tamworth, be cold, but happy Mother's Day, Mum. Sorry we can't be there. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And to those that are no longer with us, I'm sure everyone's thinking about them at the moment as well.
Well said, Raymond. Well said. Right, let's get stuck into it. Absolutely outstanding weekend of sport. And mostly we're going to talk about the sport this week, which is a nice change from last week. some outstanding games. Round 10, Indigenous round of the National Rugby League. How good have the jerseys been? The stories behind the jerseys. The fact that, you know, some clubs used to say, well, if it's not our home game, we're not going to wear the jersey. We want to save it till the next home game because then we can sell that. Nah, there's been none of that. All clubs are supporting a round 10 NRL Indigenous
Great
round. I think it's been fantastic.
Great initiative. Yeah.
And some of the football, Raymond.
Oh,
some of the football that's been played.
Unfortunately, I missed most of yesterday, Jim.
Oh, of course.
I was driving back from Scone, but listening on the radio and the Gold Coast game must have been sensational.
Unbelievable.
How Penrith won. I was getting text messages all at Scone at first bag and the so-and-so out of me because Penrith were getting thrashed. And then What happened in the second half, Jim?
Oh, well, that's a good point, Raymond.
Cliche, game of two halves.
Very cliche, but absolutely correct. I tell you what you wouldn't want to be, and I've said it for a number of years. You wouldn't want to be a Warriors fan. I tell you what, you wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. And I had this from a friend who's a Panthers fan who sent me a text message at about half time.
Yeah, he said,
pick up any goss at Penrith, because I was out there doing the Holden Cup game. Wow, wheels have fallen off. By the end of it, what are you talking about? Wheels back on.
Could that be the moment which turns the Panthers season around, Jim?
Things like that can do it, can't they? Yeah, absolutely. So hang on, what are we in this for? Yeah. What are we playing for? So I agree.
What were they thinking at half time? They've come back out and just gone berserk. Anyway,
28 points to 6 at half time, 36-28 at full time. I said it a couple of weeks ago. There's been speculation about it. Sign Nathan Cleary for a decade. Get him for a decade.
Apparently he just controlled that second half brilliantly.
He's 19.
He's a star.
Unbelievable. Anyway, that was... And then I think it went up a notch.
How gutsy were the Gold Coast? They had one fit player left for the last 15 minutes.
That's been the story of their season, hasn't it?
They've just got so many good bodies on the sideline. How did they win, Jim?
I don't know. Tenacity and football sense. Football smarts.
And I think Neil Henry's a very, very good coach.
Underrated, isn't he?
Underrated coach.
Yeah, 38 points to 30. How can the Storm score 36? How does the Storm score 36 points and lose?
They didn't score that many against them.
Yeah, well, that's a point. That's a point. That's a record for today, for this year against the Storm. And then the Broncos and Manly. Well, Manly led 14-0 at half time.
Game of two halves.
And then the Broncos come out and win 24-14 in the end. Pretty strong win there for the Broncos. Big news coming out of that. Hain injury.
Yes, the knee injury.
Laurie Daly, head is spinning. Hain injury.
Tom Trbojevic.
Injury. Gosh, that looked awkward, didn't it? Looked terrible.
I only saw it for the first time this morning and looks like his foot got sort of stuck in the mud as he came down on the ground and then just twisted the wrong way, didn't it?
All his weight plus David Mead's weight coming down on him. So
it was a legal tackle, though, wasn't it, for David Mead? There's some speculation about that.
Well, here's the point, and this is, it's not even the funny part of it, but here's the point. You're not allowed to tackle a player in the air when the ball is kicked because of a safety issue.
This is bounced.
This ball had bounced. Now, surely he was as unsafe jumping in the air to get this ball as he was jumping in the air.
Because he jumped up again to get the ball.
Jumped up again to get the ball.
And hit him the second time.
Hit him in the air, tackled him in the air, brought him down. His weight, extra weight.
So to the letter of the law, he's tackled a player with a ball in the air.
To the letter of the law, that's right. He has. Sorry, not to the letter. To the letter of the law, as it stands, it was play on because the ball had bounced. And really, it was the exact same circumstances.
So making a definition about a bounce, this ball bounced quite high.
Yeah.
And made Trbojevic jump up in the air to get it.
Yeah, but then you're going to get things like if a pass goes in the air and the player jumps up to get it, are you allowed to tackle that player in the air?
It's a grey area.
It becomes a difficult one, but it'll be very interesting to get people's thoughts on it. My take out of that Suncorp game was this, and I know we have a supporter here in panel operator Hamish, but imagine a magic weekend. In the NRL. They do it in the English Super League where they just play every game at the one venue.
Wow.
Like you had 45,000 people up there to watch four good teams go around. Yeah. Imagine if you had two games there on a Friday night and then two games on a Sunday.
Not all one day, okay.
Yeah.
So the one venue across
one
the
venue
weekend.
Across the weekend.
It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
You need the right venue.
It'd be fantastic. Could you get two or three games in? Could you have a Super Saturday a la style to say ANZ?
Yes.
You probably get.
Gee, it looks cavernous when it's empty, doesn't
it? You'd fill it up, wouldn't you?
Remember they wouldn't fill it.
Well, remember they had the 104 odd thousand for that double header.
That was the first ever game played there.
I know.
So
that,
there was
but if you had to say three games, could you fill it up? Don't think so.
No. Not until they get a purpose-built stadium out there. Then you could. Okay. Once that purpose-built stadium is a rectangular stadium, because it's not a rectangular stadium.
It'll be done soon.
Yes, well, soon-ish.
Soon-ish,
yeah. We'll get. Now, look, we better tell people what we've got on the program. You've had a very busy weekend, as per usual, but this time particularly busy. You've been up at Scone. How was Scone?
Great. Fantastic. We were talking about it last week.
Yes.
About the NRL taking club games to the bush.
Yeah, we were, that's right.
And in a similar way, this is what happened yesterday.
Mm.
And 2 days of the Scone Carnival, the Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
Friday's the Scone Cup. They have a half-day holiday in Scone.
How well would that be received?
Oh, and like
can you walk around the streets in the afternoon, though, and take your half holiday, your half holiday and then not go to the races? Is that frowned upon?
Nothing's open. Yeah.
Right.
So the whole
surely there's a pub that's open there on the Arvo.
The pubs are open all in the evening.
Yeah, right. I can imagine.
But the most of the town turns up on the Friday, and probably the crowd on the Saturday is building. It's always been smaller, but
right.
It's deaf because the quality of racing on the Saturday is terrific, as it was yesterday. And that theme of taking the best of Sydney sport to the bush,
yes,
gee, it works well. It just works. And imagine if there was an NRL game on a Sunday played near that Scone region. I don't know what the biggest ground would be there, probably Scully Park in Tamworth. It's only another hour or so up the road.
Is Tamworth only an hour from Scone?
An hour and a half.
Is it really? Oh,
so that'd probably be the biggest ground in that area, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So imagine if you had that sort of a weekend. Scone, Friday, Saturday. Big NRL club game somewhere nearby on the Sunday.
Well, if Peter Volandis gets on the independent commission for the rugby league, then he might be doing that all around the country. But
we'll make it happen.
There you go. Well, that's a thought. We'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. Better tell people who's on the program and what we've got. Andrew Adkins is on. A couple of winners for him yesterday, and an emotional one too.
It was, yeah.
For Ronnie Quinton, Peter
and for
Snowden,
Andrew too. Yeah.
And for Andrew too. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. And Peter Snowden is on. Had a winner up there with France at Scone, but had Red Zell win the Group 1, the Doomben 10,000. So P&P Snowden going from strength to strength, a little colt I'll have to ask him about there during the course of that interview at some stage.
Okay.
Adrian Bott, part of the training team, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, two winners back-to-back up there at Scone.
For Tommy Berry.
We'll speak to Peter Peters for his thoughts. I saw the New Zealand equivalent of Peter Peters yesterday. Kinesi Kinesi. He's one of the co-captains for the Warriors under-20s. And every time I was calling his name, Kinesi Kinesi, all I could think of, he's New Zealand's Peter Peters. You wouldn't wish it on the poor kid, would you? There you go. Anyway, Chris Lees.
You're built in a similar...
I've got to say, he is built in a similar style. Yeah, he's a big front rower.
Okay,
yeah. Chris Lees. A bit of a hiding to nothing, really, with Clearly Innocent taking over from Greg Bennett. And
but how good did he look yesterday?
Wow, really then exploded. Oh. We watched the race again up there at getting a cup of tea just before the show. And, yeah, 1, 2, 3 strides, bang.
All over.
He's got it done. Phil Moss will be in.
Sydney FC got the job done.
Yeah, they
what
did, didn't
game.
They?
What a game.
Wow. Oh, that's
tension.
Right.
Last Sunday night.
That seems an age ago. But
were you watching it?
Yeah, I was.
Tension filled that.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Extra time in the penalty shootout. It's a horrible way to lose, horrible way to win. But
oh, it's a good way to win.
That,
it's a horrible way to lose.
Deservingly so that Sydney FC did get the title.
I agree with that. I'd love the heart rate monitors on the players as they step up to take the free kick.
Gee.
You would love the heart rate monitor.
Which ones go missing too?
Yeah.
Can't be seen. Don't want to do it.
Zen Z quiz.
Score check.
12-6. I was waiting. I thought you were I was nearly going to have to ask it myself. 12-6.
You streaked away to a lead. Sweet serendipity on the home turn.
Yeah. No, we'll hang on, though. No, you're trying to get me run down. We're Clearly Innocent.
I don't want to pay another cut.
Don't worry. I think you'll be right in the next couple of weeks for your Liverpool collect. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest in the world of rugby league. Our legend of the game. Now, on Mother's Day, we wanted to keep everyone happy in the Thomas household. Producer Tanya and host Ray. So we said a little bit of dragon, a little bit of eel. Stephen Edge.
How good's that?
Stephen Edge. You know, he's the only person in history of the National Rugby League.
What am I going to say here?
To captain.
Two grand final winning teams.
Two grand final winning teams. It's an amazing achievement.
Well, saying it last week, I was there for the my first ever grand final was the draw.
The draw, 9-9. Nine all. So we're going to speak specifically about 1977 and 1981.
Mm-hmm.
He was captain of the Dragons in 77.
He'd been captain in 79. People tend to forget that.
That's right.
Yeah, Craig Young was the skipper. He was struggling to keep his spot in first grade for a couple of years there at St George. So.
Yeah. Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. Nathan Peets, highly impressive player for Gold Coast Titans. We'll have a chat with Nathan Peets and we look forward to that. And Scotty Foster will be on the show too with from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. So it's a full program. We've told you a lot about what's coming up. We've got to get to ourselves to a break, but we want to reveal our talk topic right now, Raymond, because on the back of three games yesterday where comebacks
that was the theme.
Were the order of the day in the National Rugby League, then we've got to say, well, great comebacks in sport. You've come up with a couple of good ones.
Mm. Well, you can go first, yeah.
Well, I'll steal one of yours then.
Okay, off you go.
Headingley.
Okay, both of them.
1981. RGD Willis.
Yeah.
And I IT Botham. Them.
I watched that test match, would you believe, in a hospital at Wagga. I'd broken my collarbone playing
AFL?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you've told that story, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was on my own in this little hospital bed, and I had a little black and white TV trying to watch this Headingley test, thinking Australia going to win, and it was an all-time great collapse.
So just remember that Dennis Illey and Rod Marsh put £5
no.
and 501 on England.
What would happen if that
can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, they got in trouble then.
I'd have thought of a couple more. Okay. I did think of America's Cup earlier.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Three one down, it was all over.
Which one? 83
Australia
or?
Australia 2, because it broke the America's stranglehold.
Sure.
So. I just thought another one just then.
Yeah.
The Dennis Andre's Jeff Harding
fight.
When Jeff Harding was shot to pieces, had to come out in the last round, knock out Dennis Andre's, he found a way to do it. I think it's one of the most courageous performances I've ever seen. He took a pounding off Andre's.
Yeah, you saw him after the fight and you thought, he's the winner. Johnny Lewis, what a legend.
Amazing.
He sent him out there with instructions saying, look, you got to knock him out to win.
Yeah, and he did. He found a way to do it.
Unbelievable. Great call. Ray Thomas, in form early doors. 13:53:53. We've got a double pass to give away to Event Cinemas. We've got all sorts of things to give away on the program this morning. CDs courtesy of Sony Music, so get involved. 13:53:53, the open line number. 0419-767-272 is how you get us on the tweets, on the SMS. That's 0419-SMS-BSB. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well. And our address is at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. Time for a break. We'll be back with more after that.
May is 5% extra discount month at astevita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. This May, use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astevita.com.au.
No one loves soccer more than TAB. We love the big tackles, the biggest celebration, and of course we love the heart-stopping goals. And we even love the refs.
Oh, come on, ref!
Well, most of the time. Yet our love for soccer is in a league of its own, just like our great soccer offers. Check out our great end-of-season soccer offers on your TAB app. At tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out, but the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
It's one corner remaining for Chas Mostert. 250 hard-fought kilometres. And Super Cheap Auto Racing is victorious. Well done, Chas Mostert.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda. The BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show with Jimmy and Ray. Happy Mother's Day again to everyone, and we really hope mums have a great day. Look at you. What do you got planned for Mrs. Smith and the lovely Tracy?
What's that?
What have you got planned for?
Got nothing. Have I left a little bit late?
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Listen, she is spoiled 364 days of the
this
year.
This is the one
including
special
the
day you've got to step up.
365 in a leap year, but so I don't think I have to go over the top. Anyway, we'll sort something out, I suppose, when we get
home.
Hang on, I'll leave it up to the kids. I'll sort something out.
Had a tremendous time at Scone over the last couple of days.
Yes.
And a couple of the locals, keen listeners.
Yes.
One gentleman, Pete from Denman. Said he'd be ringing up on Sunday. I said, if you ring up, mate, we'll give you a CD. So there's a little challenge to see if when he was speaking to me, he might not have been on the
bit of Dutch courage, wasn't it?
Same planet as we were.
Go on, going, Pete?
It's been a long, long day.
You're all talk after the last that's gone. What have you got in your kit bag this morning? 13:53:53.
He wasn't one of the two gentlemen who did the streak up the straight.
It was on again, hey?
Yeah,
anyway. Fair enough.
Look, tremendous racing yesterday, and one of the really popular wins came the Dark Jewel Classic, and Daisy Doom, she's been thereabouts all autumn carnival, just found one better than her on a day, but finally drew a barrier. Young Andrew Adkins, perfect ride on the mare, beautifully trained by Ron Quinton. She's got that group win in the Dark Jewel Classic. Andrew's been good enough to join us. Andrew, good morning. Congratulations, firstly, on the win, and if ever a horse deserved a big race win, it was Daisy Doom.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thank you. Certainly was well deserved. Her horse trainer, myself, and everyone involved, owners as well, and now it was a special day.
Yeah, and does it? I mean, it's Mother's Day, and in many ways, Margaret was the surrogate mum for you, and she's done that for a number of people, Andrew. So I guess, in many ways, that made it a little bit more special and a little bit more emotional for you and Ron.
Well, exactly right. I think it was a bit more of a relief and happiness, and a bit more excited too. But it certainly was. Pretty special, exactly what you said, the Mother's Day today, and she sort of had that mother figure towards us and us apprentices and anyone involved around her, so yeah, it was pretty special day.
And when Ronnie says, ridden beautifully, that
no
means something. That's right, because he doesn't hand them out willy-nilly, does he?
No, he doesn't, so he's pretty hard task, but we had a beautiful run in transit. We had the right run in the race and following the right horses, and, you know, the gaps come when we needed them, and it was only a fine line getting through there because the gaps closed pretty well straight away after we got half length through there. But it all worked out well, and she attacked the line really well.
And the confidence that Ron shows in you too, Andrew, is his quote after the race is, you have to give these kids a go in these big races. They can't win them sitting in the jockey's room. Mm. So you've got the confidence of a Hall of Famer in Ron Quinton. That must give you that little extra, I guess, confidence as well when you go out to ride a horse like Daisy Doom in a big race like this when you can't utilise your claim.
Yeah, well, exactly right. It's a great confidence booster, and, you know, you can go out there and ride with confidence, and Ron doesn't overdo it. You know, we have a little chat morning of the races and just have a little brief discussion of how we're going to ride her, and she's a pretty straightforward sort of filly, but, you know, when Ron puts you on in a non-claiming race as an apprentice, it's always a bit of a confidence boost because, he has that confidence in you to do the job, and you've just got to go out there and prove it. And like you said, he's a Hall of Fame jockey and he's a great trainer, and he's got the trust in you to do it. You know, you've always got that confidence behind you.
You did claim in the first. That was the staying event up there, the Kia Ora Stud Handicap, and I think it was Andrew Dale who gave you a strict set of instructions there too. Stalk the favourite, stalk the leader, and that was able to work out well as well, Andrew.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's it was a big drive for him to come down. He said it took him 10 hours to get there. He's all the way from Albury, so, you know, it was a beautifully trained horse, that one. Like I said, we had the favourite just drawn inside us, and I said if we can, we both said if we can track the favourite the whole way through, it'll take us where we need to, and if we've got enough left in the tank in the later stages, we'll be able to hold him off, and sure enough, we did. So that was a beautiful win.
And a couple of days up at Scone, Andrew, just a good change of pace, wasn't it? The locals there really enjoyed their racing, and it was a great vibe, wasn't it, the 2 days up there?
It certainly was. You know, it's a different atmosphere when you get out to the country. You know, I'm from the country, so it's always great to get back there and just witness it again because, you know, it's different. You've got the battlers out there and, country people just enjoying the day out and having a good time and beautiful people around. It's a great day of the Scone Carnival, great 2 days of Scone Carnival, and it's very thrilling to be able to pull off one of the rides on the day, and that's very special.
No, don't worry, Battler's up there. Battler's in here too, don't worry, Andrew. So where are you from?
I'm actually originally from Port Macquarie.
Ah, righto. Okay, beautiful.
So I've done about 2 years there and with Mark Quinn, and then I was able to come down to Ron, so yeah.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on yesterday.
Leading the Sydney Apprentices Premiership as well, Jim. So Andrew's in the box seat going into the last couple of months of the season.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, it's fantastic. We'll keep that. Keep an eye on that. Andrew, congratulations on those couple of wins yesterday, and really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated for the call.
Thanks, Andrew.
There he is, Andrew Adkins. Impressive young fellow. Every time we've spoken to him.
Yeah.
That's the second or third time we've spoken to him.
Really
he's been
making great strides.
Really good. 13:53:53, we're looking for comebacks. What about this one? Jack from Old Bar. Doesn't miss much, does he? Great comebacks. And on Mother's Day, Yvonne Cawley wins Wimbledon in 1971, has a baby, comes back and wins Wimbledon in 1980 as a mother.
It does, yeah. It's
very
pretty
good
hard
one.
To beat Jack from Old Bar.
Yeah, well done. We've got this one from Josty. This is coming through on Twitter too, at Big Sports WEND. Man U, 1999, European Champions League, 90th minute equaliser, and then boom,
right.
Hashtag
yeah.
Skolsgar. Mm. Ole Gunnar Skolsgar. Oh, the good old days. 13:53:53.
Instant memory.
Oh, Jesus. Cartons of beer walking out my door at the moment. 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's go to callers, Raymond. Mark is there. Hello, Mark.
Hey, boys. Firstly, good luck with Adrian this morning. He's going to need it. But,
We're waiting for the call, Mark.
But don't worry. He's already got me on Twitter, Mark.
Oh, mate. Anyway, after seeing the Dragons butcher an NRL grand final in their first year as a joint venture, one of the greatest things I've ever seen was the Wollongong Wolves coming from 3-0 down at half-time to beat the highly fancy Perth Glory in the NSL Championship in Perth.
What year?
2000. It was a packed joint. Perth Glory were overwhelming favourites.
3-0 down.
3-0 down. YouTube it. Do yourself a favour. YouTube it.
I've forgotten about
that. It is some of the greatest vision that you'll ever see. And the boys came back from 3-0 down at half time, and it was unbelievable. It was the first championship that ever come back to the Illawarra via the Dragons, Hawks, or Wolves. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
There you go.
Good call.
Mark. Given the
good
fact
call.
You've done your best Molly Meldrum in Do Yourself a Favour, we're going to send you out a couple of CDs, courtesy of Sony Music.
Thank you very much.
Adam
call,
Harvey
Mark.
And Becky Cole.
Yep.
And Willie Nelson. Apparently the Willie Nelson one is outstanding.
We have that on good authority.
We have it on good authority. Well, it's producer Jeremy, so it's authority. Anyway, we have it on authority. So, Mark, you stay on the line. We're going to send
call,
those
Mark.
Out to you. Yeah, good one.
Thank you.
I must say, I'm not au fait with the NSL
I can't
history.
Remember that. 3-0 down against Perth Glory in Perth.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Yeah. Hello, Jim.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Very well.
Morning, Jim.
I was here listening to you. It's taken the mickey out of Zorba earlier on, and I just thought I'd seen you got comebacks. So I was Zorba in the 1960-61, him and Bobby Fulton played together in the back line at West Illawarra. And Zorba was a different stature of a man in those days.
Well, he's playing in the back line. Come on, Jim.
He was. He played 5'8 in centre alongside of Fulton.
Wow.
Well,
he would have been a young man then, wouldn't he, Jim? Very young man.
Teenager. They played together. They played together under 15s, under 16s.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, but I think it was under 18s. And Alan Maddalena played in the same competition, actually.
Okay, we'll bring that up when we talk to Zorba
later.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great call, Jim.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, Jim. Appreciate that. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Now, we've got a special guest on the line here, Raymond.
We have, and I'm not surprised because he's probably on the road on the way back to Albury. Poor fella.
That's a good point.
That's a long
That's
drive.
A good point, yeah.
Andrew Dales. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, Ray. How you going?
Yeah, you on the road back?
I am, mate. I just wanted to let you know I was on the way back. We got through to Goulburn, so we spent the night at Goulburn and celebrated in a little place there with a restaurant at a motel there. So I just heard Andrew on the phone and on the radio, and I just sort of wanted to probably just echo your comments and thoughts about just what a cool, calm and calculated young man he is, you know.
He's really come along in great strides. And you've done a terrific job with that horse too, Andrew, I must say. And to target this Scone race, it's a long, long way from Albury. You've never had a runner this far north of the state before. So what compelled you to say we can go and take on some of these boom horses like Interlocutor?
Yeah, well, I thought, like I quickly mentioned to you yesterday, Ray, I thought that his run in the Wagga Gold Cup, a listed race, was a really good run. And the run before that in the Murrumbidgee Cup, which was just the lead up to the Wagga Cup, he Nick Souquet rode him, and he just had no luck, and it was almost like he went around without even putting too much in. And so I thought fourth up to the Wagga Cup, he might have been a little bit underdone at 2000, especially such a quality race with Stampede winning the race, and I think Cool Chap running third, and then I can remember coming back from the Wagga Carnival thinking, well, Waterhouse had trained the winner, Waterhouse and Botton. I think Friedman had run second, and Waller had run third, and Karen Maher had run fourth, and Joe Pride had run fifth, and someone had run sixth, and Andrew had run seventh. Yeah, and I thought, well, I think that'll stack up somewhere. It's about trying to find the right race, you know, for the horse. And he I thought fifth up he would really peak. And 2200, I just looked on the calendar, Ray, and it looked to be the right race. And I knew that Brett Kavanagh had relocated, obviously, so I know Brett well from Albury, and just got on the phone pretty much straight away, and we talked about it, and, yeah, we put the plan in place. We arrived on Wednesday morning, and I didn't have to do much with the horse, obviously only a week between runs, so we just looked after him and took him for plenty of walks and lots of swims and Cavs facilities there, and, yeah, in the end, result was a tremendous win.
Some things are meant to be, Jim.
Ah, fantastic. Well, well done, Andrew. Look, I tell you what, if you get onto the Sky Sports Radio website, you'll be able to check the frequencies of all the towns you're going through on your way back to Albury, and you won't miss a minute of the program. And I know that's what you want to listen to this morning on that long trip, okay?
Right. Thanks very much, guys. Good luck.
Good on you. Andrew Dahl there. He trained the winner of the first at Randwick. It's Scone. Yes, see, country Randwick, really.
Oh, it's fantastic track.
So there you go. So we've talked previously about trainers, whether they're prepared to come on this program. Now we've got trainers ringing up as talkback callers. Tell you what,
it's good,
just going from strength to strength, this program. The little show that could...
Don from before Carlton we go, chimed in. Yeah. I love this. You can read it out.
Before we go to a break here, Don from Carlton. Finally found some form, Don from Carlton, after weeks of out of form.
Very best.
The greatest comeback in sport happens every Sunday on your show, despite the ridicule of his boring and repetitive weekly diatribe. Adrian turns up every week. Got Don from Carlton. Guess what? He's already logged a call, Adrian. We'll have him on a little bit later. Time for a break.
Sky Sports Radio is your home of winter racing. Racing HQ has your major New South Wales race preview every morning at 10. Get the winning mail from the best form analysts around the state 7 days a week at 10 a.m. on Sky Sports Radio.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friends going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Bert!
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it.
See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks worth of the Man Shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Harvey Norman's massive clearance outlet is open 7 days. It's the only one in Sydney and it's at Mascot. Full of manufacturer's seconds, ex-display stock, scratch and dent, factory refurbished units and end-of-line run-out models. It's all cheap, cheap, cheap and price to clear. Fridges, washers, TVs, computers, furniture, bedding and flooring and lots, 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 lots more, lots more. Harvey Norman's clearance outlet, Gardeners Road, Mascot.
He sends it away, however, with a further option. Brooks decides to take off. Brooks goes, puts it through, and gets it! It came off the feet of the Dogs, and the Guava scores under the sticks.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. A couple more of your themes going gangbusters, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Like this one. Joey Johns, grand final versus Manly, 1997.
Last effort.
Almost lifted Newcastle over the line, didn't he?
You know the subtext of that was that Nathan Gibbs was the doctor of Manly at the time, and he suggested very strongly that Andrew Johns not play because of a chance.
Oh, that's right.
He had the rib injury that he thought, oh, you could puncture a lung or whatever it was. And he played.
One of the great games.
He played okay too that day. Not bad at all.
Jimmy, comebacks in sport. Mark Opelupo surfing. Bulldogs against Power in a final. Can't remember the year and prediction. I don't make a comeback in the quiz. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Magic Mike.
Straight in the race replay. Scone yesterday, Miss Debutante. Gee, she was outstanding in the Denise's Joy Stakes.
Conchita led the way from Bellavino. Snitty Kitty's had a wide run in for a dig, looking for an out. Then once more a lady, the Wasp Pickle, followed to the outside from Suspenders. Miss Debutante Eckstein is the widest. Down to the 200 metres, Conchita and Snitty Kitty. They're hard at it. Fickle Folly, the Wasp. Miss Debutante is starting to unwind, and Eckstein out wide. Here's Miss Debutante. She let rip at the 100. Took the lead for Tommy. Broke clear from Snitty Kitty. Smart Amelia, Eckstein late, but Miss Debutante races away with Denise's Joy. Won it by 2.5 on Snitty Kitty. Third was Smart Amelia, and I'm not sure what's run fourth.
Well, there you go. Big win. Drew the car park.
Had to go back. Might be the way to ride her.
No, well, that's right. There you go. Now, where for...
Look, possibly Tats Tiara back into the carnival. Yeah. Cosmic Endeavour went through Scone. Gay Waterhouse trained a couple of years ago, won the English Guineas on this day.
Right.
Used that as a springboard into a very successful Brisbane carnival, which included that Group 1 and the Tats Tiara. So that might be Miss Debutante's likely race prep going forward. Then the English Guineas. Peter and Paul Snowden had two chances in the race. Calander and France. France was outstanding coming from back.
Coming to the turn, Critical Thinking in front. From Dalmatia, Prince Just Dreaming, and Barbas is taking the rails runner. They're followed by Dream No More from Crown Hem, Sprite and Prized Icon, and a length further back to Calander. Going up to the 250, and Just Dreaming going after Critical Thinking and Barbas. Sprite's running on, so is Prized Icon and Calander. Good finish coming up. Prized Icon down the outside. Here's France right out the back. France is going to Prized Icon, and France got up to win it. Came from well back, and France has bloused out Prized Icon. Sprite third, followed then by...
Good call.
Good call, Darren Flindell, P&P Snowden. $26 chance, France in the Stradbroke. Blackheart Bart, the $9 favourite, and Clearly Innocent. Of course, we'll hear Clearly Innocent very shortly, $11.
We'll hear Clearly Innocent next.
There you go.
The Scone champ was back in the Luskin Star Stakes.
Then got unders from Snoopy. Clearly Innocent's tracking up behind, just looking for a bit of room now as they turn. On the outside is Grundesied and Gold Symphony into the straight. Clearly Innocent's getting the gaps. He's six off the leader, Sweet Serendipity, who's high flying down to the 300 metres from Cool Ring and Clearly Innocent. He's really starting to rev up now, the local hero. Snoopy and Gold Symphony making ground, but Clearly Innocent swept to the front from Snoopy and Gold Symphony down the outside. The only thing he's guilty of, he loves Scone, and Clearly Innocent makes it back-to-back wins in the Luskin Star. Beat Snoopy and Gold Symphony, then Sir Buck.
So relevance there for Chris Lees. We're going to speak to Chris a little bit later on in the program. Of course, his father Max trained Luskin Star. He wins with Clearly Innocent. Second up for Chris Lees, unbeaten at the track. Second Luskin Star Stakes, and now an $11 second favourite for the Stratty. Have a run between then?
Possibly in 2 weeks' time in... Change its name now. It used to be the BTC Cup, the Wait for Age race at 1300. But
Actually, I think that's what Chris called it, the Wait for Age race up there. He wasn't sure of the name either.
It changes every year. But what hasn't changed is horse's ability, Jim. He is a gun, Clearly Innocent. Six from six now at Scone. He was terrific. We heard from Andrew Adkins earlier.
Yeah.
If Clearly Innocent was most popular winner of the two-day carnival, the most emotional was Dacey Doom in the Dark Jewel Classic.
Slightly Sweet Artistry. Bowman's coming away from the fence. Shalada up the inside from Serene Majesty. El Lou, Just a Blur, and Sir Rich's Last into the straight. Kinshachi quickly went up to Sweet Redemption, then All in the Reflexes, and Dacey Doom sprinting hard between them. Extensibles making good ground on the fence, and Prop Response the outer. Adkins goes to the front on Dacey Doom. Prop Response is giving chase. Dacey Doom in front of Prop Response is trying to get on terms. Serene Majesty's flushing home at the end. Dacey Doom's kicking. Dacey Doom wins the Dark Jewel. Dacey Doom from Prop Response and the fast finishing Serene Majesty.
As you mentioned, an emotional win there. Now, Dacey Doom had just missed out, just couldn't quite get that win. Were the heavy tracks an issue for her?
She handles just about everything. She's that honest and consistent. And she ran fourth in the Coolmore, second in the Emancipation, second in the Hawkesbury Crown. She's just been thereabouts. A really deserved win for Ron Quinton, Andrew Adkins, and Dacey Doom. The big Group 1 yesterday was the Doomben 10,000.
Mm.
Peter and Paul Snowden again, this time with the Resolute Red Zell.
And Red's out the leader from Upstart Pride. Third, Russian Revolution. Fourth is In Her Time, who's been deep. Likewise, Fell Swoop. And next one, Start Wondering. And Japanisma's over on the inside. 300 metres left to go. Red's out the leader. Plenty of room for Russian Revolution to come through. In Her Time. Counterattack down the outside from Start Wondering. Red's out is still the leader. Russian Revolution over on the inside. Later's counterattack. Red's out in front. Darren flashing late as well from counterattack. Red's out in front from counterattack. Darren and Redzell's won the 10,000. One up by half a length, counter-attack, and Darren, a photo fourth, Russian Revolution.
So, third group one for PMP Snowden this season. Is that a fair, they'd be happy with that return?
Oh, terrific.
Really? Yeah, okay, all right.
They're nudging 10 million as well now in prize money, so.
Right.
Terrific. That's a horse who probably 12 months ago, we'll ask Peter shortly, 12 months ago, you probably wouldn't put down as a group one horse. They've really got him to find his best form, and when you're out in front, Jim, you're there to be run down, aren't you? Every time. He was just too tough.
And I think the favourite in the race was Russian Revolution, and another Snowden horse. Yeah. So there you go. That was a good performance there. 1353 is the open line number. By the way, we're going to speak to Pete Snowden very shortly. But just before we go to a break, time to get another call in. The talk topic's going well. This one's interesting. Boy, boys, best comeback I heard was when Tiger Woods told his wife he was going out clubbing. Her comeback was with a 9-iron. Cheers, Manly Man Al.
Thank you.
They take it not literally at times, do they?
This is from Vicky from Port Macquarie. This is a good one. Hi, guys. Two comebacks in sport. Jeff Lloyd in racing after his stroke.
Yes.
Outstanding. And most recently, Sally Pearson after her injury. Both showing great strength and dedication. Vicky from Port Macquarie.
Yeah, great.
A couple of CDs, I think, for Vicky on Mother's Day.
Oh, you're a soft touch, Ray Thomas.
Mother's Day.
No, actually, good point.
CDs coming out Vicky's way. Up at Port Macquarie.
There you go. Good on you, Vicky. Let's go to Bob, who's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas, and happy Mother's Day to all the mums.
Good on you, Bob.
I just wanted to talk about this drug situation in rugby league. There is already a policy out there by sport that covers the issue, I think, perfectly. And there's a lot of similarities. So that's racing. If you're a jockey and you get caught with cocaine in your system, you are out. Now, the reason is, there's three things to do with cocaine and illegal drugs. One, they're sold by drug dealers.
Mm.
Two, drug dealers are criminals. And three, criminals like to manipulate betting.
Yeah, he's raised a lot of good points there.
I think that's a link, Bob, that not everyone has looked at, but I think you've very succinctly summed it up and understand the dangers of it, not just from an illicit point of view. Look, we've got to keep rolling, but that's a very good
policy in racing, Jim.
That's a very good call. And a lot of talented jockeys have been fallen foul of that over the years.
6 months to a year, basically.
There you go. 1353 is the open line number. A break and then back with Peter Snowden.
Monday is Punter Postmortem Day on Sky Sports Radio.
It's got a terrific bunch of 3-year-old fillies this season, Duff. With Egg-Tart, Dornwall, Fox Play, and Oh My Sword, who's the one on the sideline?
Two of the best analysts, Ron Duffacy and Dean Lester, are regulars. But from this Monday, they'll be joined by Queensland race caller Josh Fleming with his Brisbane Winter Carnival wrap, plus your talkback calls. Punter's Postmortem, Monday mornings at 9 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, I've got big news.
Me too.
No, I mean really big. The new 2017 model TVs from LG, Samsung and Panasonic are now here at Bingley.
Yes, Lionel.
What's your news?
16 months interest-free. No deposit for a limited time or any purchase of $1,500 at Bingley.
60 months interest-free on new TVs?
On everything.
Why do you always get the last word?
Because you talk first.
Credit provided by HSBC Bank. Terms, conditions, fees, charges and lending criteria apply. Offer valid until May 31st, 2017. Details in-store. Australian credit license 222-595.
Z&Z Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. And for over 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So if you want the official watch of your NRL team or engagement and wedding rings, corporate gifts, all types of remodelling and repairs, Z&Z's your place. See Z&Z at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au.
Proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
Now here's a chance of a lifetime, Jim Smith. It's your opportunity to be trackside at either Royal Ascot, one of the great carnivals in world racing, or, for the more adventurous, South Africa, for the running of the Group 1 Durban July. It's their version of our Melbourne Cup, Jimmy.
Mm.
Some last-minute tickets have become available, and they certainly won't last. No one does racing better than Ambassador Travel. All the details are looked after, from flights, transfers, accommodation, tours, to VIP tickets to the track.
Tell you who won't be at Royal Ascot. Prince Philip.
Why not?
He's retired from...
He may go to Royal Ascot. That's not an official... That's a little afternoon jaunt up from Windsor Castle, just down a little carriage.
All right. We should run a market on okay. If he turns up.
Well, depending on your choice, Jim, you could be rubbing shoulders with the Queen and celebrating 300 years of English tradition, or choose South Africa and roam the wild on safari in Kruger National Park amongst the lions, elephants and leopards. Both trips feature exclusive access to the world's most famous stud farms, plus sightseeing tours. Don't miss out. Call Ambassador Travel now on 1800 777 989, or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, that'll do us. Now the play-ons are about bunker decisions.
Come on. That's all right.
What on earth?
That's all right. Hey, we'll get this show back on track, Jim. The most popular win of the 2 days at Scone, by far, was clearly innocent. Fantastic to see him win. And
he was under the pump, though, fair dig, and this trainer,
though.
I'm saying the trainer, local favourite Greg Bennett, takes over from the all-conquering champ.
What are you saying, hiding to nothing?
Well, come on, mate, show us what you got.
Ask Chris Lees.
All right, fair enough.
He's on the line. Good morning, Chris. And is it a bit like that, Chris, with a bit of a hiding to nothing taking over such a really good horse as clearly innocent?
Yeah, I suppose it was in some ways, but I said to someone after the race that I was giving a Melbourne Cup where it won't, so I can end.
You can handle the pressure, yeah.
That's right. And just on the horse, just incredible the success that he has at Scone. Do we read much into that, or just that he's a highly talented horse and it's his home track?
No, I think it's more, look, he has got an affinity with the track, but... I think he likes big tracks, Jimmy, to be fair. He looked pretty good when he won at Randwick that day as well. So I think fair to him, get him on the big tracks. He gets back in the field and he winds up and he lets down really well on them bigger type of tracks.
He's got a terrific turn of foot, hasn't he, Chris? I was watching the replay with Jimmy this morning before we started the show, and I said when Sweet Serendipity was out, maybe 6 lengths in front, I guess, coming around the turn, I said, just give this horse 2 strides and watch how the race changed. And that's what it was, wasn't it? In 2 bounds... he'd made up probably 3 lengths and was just motoring.
Yeah, he was really strong. He was probably suited by that really good solid tempo, but the plan was to get him to the outside, but Huey said he was travelling so well inside of horses and he was able to pick them up pretty quickly. And you're right, he did let down very well.
He's a magnificent looking animal too. And what's he like in the yard, Chris?
Yeah, he's pretty easy. Jimmy, he's pretty uncomplicated. He's a big rangy horse. You know, he doesn't carry a great deal of condition, so he comes to hand quite quickly. He's been ready to go for a while. We just had to mark time for a little bit when we have done really heavy tracks over Randwick, and plan was always to have him here second up at Scone with a view of if he went well enough to push on to Brisbane.
Is that the plan now, Chris, to go to that, I don't know what it's called, is it a 1300-metre weight for age race in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's the Darley Kingsford Smith.
Oh, there you go. Chris is on the board. Thanks for that.
He's looked it up last night, right?
Last night.
Yeah, okay. There you go. And so that'll be the race, and then into the Stratty?
Yeah, that'll be the plan. If I knew that he was guaranteed a run in the Stradbroke now, I'd probably maybe consider just going 4 weeks straight into a Stradbroke. But they're really big nominations, and it's a Group 1 in 2 weeks. So looks a nice option, albeit it is a weight for age.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris, I think I might have asked this question before. Can you remember Luskin Star?
Not really, Ray. Yeah. Just little things about it. But no, I was only 6 at the time.
That's right, but... special to win the race because he arguably is the best horse to come out of the coalfields.
Yeah.
Trained by your father, late father.
Probably no doubt about that. So, that was pleasing.
Yeah. And do you have a little thought about that when given the name and so forth? Is there a bit of extra emotion for you, Chris?
Not really, Jimmy, to be honest. But anyway, it is nice. Mm.
You're a hard-hearted bugger, aren't you, Chris?
we'll move on quickly, Chris. Hey, Chris, a good carnival overall. Terrific vibe for the stable. Fantastic. You had two winners on the Friday. I think their horses we're going to hear a lot more about as well. Decepticon and Excelamore.
Yeah, both really good wins. They were in. Decepticon was only a maiden, but I thought she put them away pretty well, and she showed the promise that the boys had in her when they purchased her. So she's a nice filly with a nice future. And the two-year-old, I really like the winner. Again, them restricted races, always a little bit questionable, the form out of them type of two-year-old races, but the way she attacked the line, I thought had plenty of merit.
Look, I know you're a big Willie Nelson fan, Chris, and for a pick of the board or a pick of the CDs here from Shoney Music, if you can tell me what time Ray Thomas's alarm is set on a Sunday morning, you can walk away with a CD of your choice.
Yeah, I think I do know this, Jimmy. Is it 3:44?
Oh, we've changed that, Chris, remember?
Oh, we've gone
4:44. You've gone back? Got an hour, extra hour
back 4:44.
He refuses to put it on an odd number.
That just confirms what Jimmy's suspected for a long time, Chris. Hot is the right word, I think.
I knew you knew it, Chris, and I'm happy to send you out a CD. So we got Willie.
I haven't been there when he said it. I can tell you.
Willie Nelson coming your way.
Good on you. I look forward to being right again. It'll be good.
Very good. Good on you, Chris.
Thanks,
well done.
Chris. Congratulations for a great carnival too, mate.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Thanks, Chris.
There he is, Chris Lees.
Musk can stay on the YouTube there, Jim.
Yeah, I was just looking at. Well, he said, I was six when it happened. I thought it was late 70s, so 1977.
Probably the best Golden Slipper field ever that he beat by 7 lengths.
Did they have the Golden Slipper? They did the 150 years of the Melbourne Cup, and they had the best ever field, and they did that for the Golden Slipper,
years,
didn't they?
Golden
50
Slipper,
years,
yeah.
And I think Luskin Star
ran third, I think, if I remember.
Who
it was
won?
Bain from Todman.
Oh, okay.
On top of my head, well, I
was
judging panel too. I should remember that.
Anyway, that was very good, very good. So Chris is getting that CD because he knows what time you. Your alarm is set.
Here's one. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. A big comeback was Michael Bevan versus the West Indies when we were 6-38 at the SCG. Remember this?
Oh, that's
we were chasing
a good
173, and Bevan needed four off the last ball, and he belted it straight back down the ground over the head of the. Who was the bowler?
Well, there I was going to say for the pick of the board here, who was the bowler?
I've got an idea.
Yeah, fielded in the gully.
Was it Phil Simmons?
No. Roger Harper.
Did they bowl the spinner last over?
Roger Harper.
I can remember Bevan down and hitting the ball.
Yeah,
it would have been a spinner. Okay,
Roger
yeah.
Harper.
Four for last
I'm
ball.
Pretty sure it was Roger Harper.
Great well, hands, Roger Harper.
Yeah, magnificent fieldsman, wasn't he? Just couldn't bowl him. Well, not very well anyway. Certainly not to Michael Bevan last ball. And this one, just before we get to our scratchings, great comebacks. This year's Super Bowl. Jack from Olbart. Yeah, that was a Super Bowl record.
Got to be Don from Carlton. He's chimed in again. It's one of the best. He's
Don from Carlton
today.
Finally found some form, and he's gone back to back. Greatest comebacks in sport. Jimmy Smith, after being sacked from the Rabbitohs, no, the Tigers, no, the Roosters, no, Talking Sport, no, Channel 9, no, Kerry O'Keefe Show. Just take your pick. Don from Carlton. Thanks very much, Don. Appreciate that.
You're a great survivor, Jim. Still here.
It's like what you want to be known for, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm a survivor.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. 1353 is the open line number. That's our talk topic for today. Great comeback. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with Scratchings Around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, everyone. Yes.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, hey, thank you very much.
Don't know what's spoiling to get home, Tan.
Well, I have so. I've spent every Mother's Day I've had with that since I've been a mother here.
Yeah.
Well, every Mother's Day morning,
yeah,
anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, not to worry. Racing today at Dubbo and Queanbeyan, starting with Dubbo, where the weather is overcast. The track is a good 3. The rail is true. Penetrometer 3.2 and 22 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Go to race 2, take out 1, Magic Choir. 6, Serious Moonlight. 15, Congrats Baby. And 17, Nick City. 1, 6, 15 and 17. Race 3, number 7, Almadol. And 10, Unique Command. 7 and 10. Race 4, take out 8, Derby Blue, number 8. Race 5, number 4, Irish Spy. 9, East Coast. And 10, Calissa's Secret, 4, 9 and 10. To race 6, number 1, Baker's Image. 2, Bench Star. 4, Belfry Bat. And 7, Almadol. 1, 2, 4 and 7. To race 7, take out 8, Scruff, number 8. Race 8, number 7, Orion Fire. And 12, hashtag Noidea. 7 and 12 out of race 8. And race 9, number 4, Lightning Hue. 6, bring a beer along. 8, Meteora. 11, Fly Lightly. And 13, Living Fire. 4, 6, 8, 11 and 13 out of race 8 at Dubbo. Down to Queanbeyan, where the weather is fine, the track a good 3, the rail true, and 11 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, take 11, Leopard Brenner, number 11. Race 3, number 13, Alti Pete, take out 13 from race 3. Race 4 is clear. Go to race 5, take out 2, Gresham Station, 12, Marry Me Molly, 13, Coral Downs, and 14, Misty Mountain Hop, 2, 12, 13, and 14. Race 6, take out 5, Scruff, and 6, Siberian Rose, 5 and 6. And out of race 7, number 5, Reward for Fashion, 7, Eagle Strike, and 9, Linden Doom. 5, 7 and 9, out of race 7 at Queanbeyan.
Couple of tips today, guys. Dubbo, race 1, number 2, Big Reg, trialled really well, will make a winning debut here. Race 1, number 2, Big Reg, down to race 8. Number 8, Yours, Mine, Ours. It's ready to win. Terrific run first up. Over at Queanbeyan, down to race 6, number 4, Crystal Sky.
There you go. Absolutely on fire, Ray Thomas, with his Sunday tips. 3 from 3 last week. Peter Peters, up next.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Isaiah Firebrace has performed note perfect at the grand final of the Eurovision Song Contest in Kiev, Ukraine. The 17-year-old Riverina teenager looked relieved as he hit a high note he missed in the first semi-final as he represented Australia at the global competition. Firebrace was 14th out of 26 performers, including fellow Australian Anya Nissen, who is representing Denmark. He's the first Aboriginal male to represent Australia at Eurovision in the country's third bid for glory at the contest. Australians have been urged to update their antivirus software in the wake of a cyber attack that has affected hospitals and companies across the globe. The malware wormed its way into thousands of computer systems in an apparent extortion plot on Friday, shutting users out unless they coughed up a payment. A technology expert who claims he's found a way to halt yesterday's cyber attack warns that those behind it will strike again. The man, who doesn't want to be named, told the ABC another virus could be released imminently.
It's very important that people patch their systems now, because we have stopped this one, but there will be another one coming and it will not be stoppable by us. There's a lot of money in this. There's no reason for them to stop. It's not really much effort for them to change the code and then start over.
Three men in their 60s were rescued from a sinking boat last night after hitting a reef off the WA coast, approximately 3 kilometres west of the Two Rocks Marina. Two Rocks Volunteer Sea Rescue Group were able to rescue the skipper and crew around 7:30 p.m. and the vessel was able to be salvaged. It's been towed to shore for repairs. Militant Islamist group Boko Haram has published a video in Nigeria where one of the schoolgirls stolen from Chibok explains why she doesn't want to go home. The BBC's Tommy Aladipo has more.
The video shows four women dressed in black veils. The one who speaks is holding a gun. She declares her loyalty to Boko Haram and says she refused to return home to her parents because of their refusal to convert to Islam. After 82 Chibok schoolgirls were freed last week, a spokesman for the Nigerian presidency confirmed that one had refused to leave with them. It's not clear who that girl was.
There are more calls today for Aussie kids to swap their screen time for green time. New figures show kids under the age of 12 now spend more than 16 hours per week in front of a screen, with nearly 1 in 10 spending 5 or more hours a day plugged in. Dr. Karen Martin from the School of Population and Global Health says we need to get our kids off their screens and into the backyard.
Outside play is so important for children, for their social interaction. It's associated with high physical activity, creativity and problem solving. And grass is particularly beneficial for children because it's soft fall surface. So if they fall over, they're less likely to be injured than if they fall over on pavers or concrete.
Also in news, police in Brisbane are investigating an armed robbery of a service station in Kalanga. Around 8 p.m. last night, a man with a knife demanded money from the female attendant at a venue on Narangbar Road. He then fled with a sum of cash. No one was physically injured in the robbery. This is AIR News. G Geelong coach Chris Scott has lambasted his Cats for a disgraceful tackling performance in their 17-point loss to Essendon at the MCG. The Bombers led the tackle count 52-13 at the long break of last night's match, and by the final siren, the figure was a lopsided 81-39 in Essendon's favour. The final score, 17-8-110 to 13-15-93. Penrith coach Anthony Griffin looks set to persevere with Bryce Cartwright at 5'8", despite his admittedly ordinary form. Cartwright was again inconsistent in his side's come-from-behind 36-28 NRL win over the Warriors. While he recorded his first try assist in 5 appearances this year, he was also guilty of throwing a looping pass which was intercepted and led to the Warriors' first try. After being affected by an ankle injury during the opening rounds, he has failed to reach the heights of last season, but Griffin maintains he is the club's best choice at number 6. Simona Halep has won the Madrid Open for the second consecutive year after staving off a fight back from France's Kristina Mladenovic to win 7-5, 6-7, 6-2 in a thrilling three-setter. Halep took an even first set but grew frustrated in the second as her opponent came roaring back, and the Romanian was given a code violation for throwing her racket in frustration in the direction of a ball boy at 30 love down in the 12th game. Briefly in Super Netball, wins to the Magpies and Firebirds this round. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
When was the last time you checked your home loan rate? Mortgage House believe if you're paying more than 4%, you're paying too much. Switch to Mortgage House and save. Call 133-144. Conditions apply. We have delays heading to the airport, very heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive, and starting to build on the M5 East as well. In the city, road closures and special event clearways in place around the CBD for the Mother's Day fun run. And in Vineyard, look out for a gravel spill on Windsor Road at Bandon Road, affecting traffic in all directions. Only Foxtel brings you more recent movie releases from the major studios, with over 1,200 of the hottest movies to watch on demand, anytime, and ad-break free, with new movies added every week. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
May is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off on wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. This May, use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au. astivita.com.au.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy with areas of fog early this morning on Mother's Day, mainly in the west. High chance of showers, a 70% chance of showers, most likely from late this morning. Don't like to hear that. Light winds, 4 to 15 mils, 80% chance of rain. See, hang on, look. It says 80% chance of rain here, but then straight across here it says 70% chance.
Maybe they're wrong. Maybe there's no rain.
What, you're not thinking? So
got to think positive. Got to
my thinking was, well, it's probably about 75% chance of rain. You just said, right, no rain.
Let's hope they're wrong. You don't want it raining on Mother's Day.
Do you reckon the Bureau, on a, say, a late Saturday night, they go, oh, we've got to put it out for tomorrow. Oh, don't worry about it. Just roll this out.
You reckon they would?
Yeah, I reckon. They strike me as that sort of thing. Maximum of 21 degrees in Sydney. Now, what about it?
Cast suspicions on the entire
department. An entire bureau.
They might stop supplying us with this weather. We'd go into apoplexy if we couldn't.
Well, Donald Trump has sacked the head of the FBI.
So what are you calling for now? The sacking of the...
I'm asking for Malcolm Turnbull to get involved with the Bureau. Say, listen, you're on warning, you guys. You don't get it right 7 days in a row, you're out.
Gee, the hard man.
Drummoyne or Dubbo, Raymond?
Drummoyne. It's currently 15 degrees.
Right.
Partly cloudy.
Uh-huh.
Heading for top of only... Why is it 18 in Drummoyne and 21 in the city? goes back to your point, doesn't it?
These blokes are 30 and phoned it in last night.
Milos Nikovic now has the chance to win the title for Sydney FC from 11 metres. The Johnny Warren medalist, the best player in the league this season. If this goes in, it's Sydney's crown. Nikovic scores! Dreams have come true in Sky Blue!
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with three lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But always dreaming is digging down. Dreaming is holding on, looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Across the ground, look at Dugan fly high and bring the ball down. Johnson away to Chulbasicek, and he is over. That's 10 tries. And Desplet comes away to ball. Point holds it back, steps twice off the right foot, got it away. Here's a try for Jake Trebojevic.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And for those sweating on the weather in Dubbo, including Michelle, probably sitting there saying, well, hang on, you promised the weather
we
at
did.
Dubbo.
We did.
So the weather is currently 11 degrees in Dubbo. Going for a lovely day, partly cloudy, no rain at Dubbo, Jim.
Oh, yes.
22 degrees.
Well, there you go. We're rudely interrupted previously.
We did take too long.
Producer Jeremy gets upset when we take too long with the weather. Big hour coming up. Peter Peters very shortly. We'll chat to Peter Snowden. Phil Moss from the world of football will have our Z and Z quiz, and we'll get an update in the world of rugby league as well, just trying to determine who exactly that is. The topic today is comebacks, and here's a good one, Ray, that I reckon you'll appreciate. Morning, boys. One of the greatest comebacks has to be Tulloch, who came back from near death to win first up over 2,000 metres after a two-year breath and went
two-year break and went on
to be one of the all-time greats. Cheers,
and
desperate
he defeated a horse who was in tremendous form at the time called Lord in a two-horse epic up the Flemington Straight. One
You've
of the great races. Yeah. And TJ, probably the only time in his life, moved to tears.
Is that right? There you go. Boys, the greatest comeback in Aussie sport was Australia 2. Came from 3-1 down in the America's Cup to win 4-3. Great day in history. Cheers, Rob. Looks like everyone's been watching the Bondi series on Channel 9.
And this one's from Smacker. I like this one. Hi, Ray and Jimmy. Comebacks. Not sure if anyone has yet mentioned him. They haven't. Bob Simpson, captain Australia in the 60s. Retired, but came back in the late 70s. To lead Australia again when World Series cricket was happening. Remember, he went to the West Indies
tour?
And batted pretty well, Bob.
Yeah, he did get a few. He was about 41, wasn't he?
41 or 42, yeah. Was that when they brought Colin McDonald out? Remember that?
No.
To play, not Colin McDonald.
Michael Colin Cowdrey.
Yes, play against William Thompson in the 74-75 tour.
That's right.
But,
and just finish what Smacker's
written
there.
Cloudy but fine, and 16 degrees in Narooma.
There you
Thanks,
go, everyone. If you are from one of the country towns in New South Wales, I'll send you weather in. We'll read it out. We know it's probably not accurate, but we'll read it out. 1353 53 is the open line number. I tell you what, lots going on in the game of rugby league. Let's get to him now. The free-flowing 5/8 or centre from the Illawarra.
Let's find out.
In the 1960s, we've been reliably informed. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Did you hear our caller earlier, Jim?
No, I didn't.
He said you played in the you and Bozo playing together in the under-15s in the early 60s.
Yeah.
And you're in the back line.
Yeah, but the fish and chips took over after that. Straight to the forwards.
What position did you play?
Oh, I played 5/8 and fullback early in the juniors, and I played with Bozo at the Red Devils, Western Suburbs. But we won the under-18s comp and then went straight to reserve grade when we were still at school. So I played second row in a grand final in reserve grade. So, and then first grade after that with Wests before coming to Sydney via Goulburn.
Hey, Pete, was Bozo always going to be a superstar, even as a teenager?
Not in the earlier grades, once he hit teenage years, yes. People forget that he was captain coach of City when he was 18 years of age for a game against Country.
Amazing.
Are you serious? 18 years of age?
Yep.
We should get him up.
Wow.
He's a legend.
Unbelievable. Bozo. Okay, let's get to this. I know we understand why you'd have strong thoughts on it. Tom Trebojevic, I think everyone who watches the game, loves watching, oh, I certainly do love watching Tom Trbojevic play. Give us an update on his status first and then give us your thoughts on the tackling in the air.
Well, I spoke to the hotel about midnight last night and he was in a lot of pain. I presume that he's had a tough night and the wait now is he'll be arriving back in Sydney this morning. And he'll be going straight for scans, and they don't know yet whether the ankle or the knee is the greater concern. There's it's too early to tell. I know some stories are coming out, and Trent Barrett said after the game that, you know, the kid may be out for the season, and that would be a body blow to him because he was going to be on the wing for New South Wales,
yes,
making his debut probably alongside his brother in the Blues team, which will be announced in a few weeks' time. He's a great young player, Tommy, as you said. I think the NRL need to show some leadership. They talk a lot about player welfare. They have to do it, and they have to do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today and just come out and say, OK, we are exercising our right as we run the game and we're concerned about player welfare. You cannot tackle a player in midair, whether it is on the full or the ball is bounced and bounced high like last night and then the player taken out. David Mead tackled him in midair. If it had been just from a kick without bouncing, it would have been a blatant penalty. Not only did Tom get injured, but the Broncos scored a vital try, and it changed the whole game. I know the rules about, it's negated, as I said,
yeah,
in the circumstances, but the rules should be changed immediately. The game's tough enough without being smashed mid-air when your eyes are on the ball and the consequences are there for everyone to see. So I think Todd Greenberg, I think he's an outstanding administrator. I think he'll realise this is not good for the game and they have to step in. I would urge the Players Association to put their hands up for it too. I can't see anybody having any complaints about changing this rule mid-season, right now.
Strong words from Zorb. Jimmy, your thoughts?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Totally agree. It's an anomaly that it bounced high and then he got tackled in the air. That's a complete anomaly.
Yeah, it just can't happen again, and we've got to protect our players. And as I said, look,
yes,
Mead, at that stage, he knew the rule. And he went hard. Obviously, he didn't want to injure him, and that was just an accident. Can't blame him one bit, but it shouldn't happen again. But, guys, let's talk about, I mean,
what
rugby league, when it's
day.
Played like it was yesterday, cannot be surpassed as a television. I was riveted for 4 hours in three games of football that were just out of this world. Compelling, exciting, dramatic, amazing. And no other sport can deliver it. I was transfixed to the television the week before in the A-League Grand Final, but this was something extra.
Yeah, Zorb, can I start with the first game, 3 o'clock, Penrith versus the Warriors? To come back from 28-6 down and win, can that turn the Panthers' season around?
Absolutely, Ray. But I keep telling you about the Warriors. They are a myth. They haven't won a game on our side of the Tasman this year. They've won a couple of games at home, albeit lucky, albeit against pretty ordinary opposition sometimes. But yesterday, I mean, how could they let up that many points? They're leading 28-6, 30-0 in the second half. Hang their heads in shame. Penrith were good, and their season was on the line. They'll come back from that. That will kick-start them, and I still think they can make the eight.
I hope you're right. The Storm Titans game, I listened to it on the car on the way back from Scone,
brilliant.
And it was compelling to listen to. It must have been amazing to watch, Saul.
Oh, look, the lead just changed hands so many times. And really, when you look at Neil Henry's side, they've got something going there at the Titans.
Yes.
And they've beaten both last year's grand finalists.
If they get a full roster.
Weeks. Pardon?
If they get a full roster eventually, Zorb, they've got so many injured
players.
Well,
Payne was on the sideline when the comeback started yesterday.
Mm.
And they're a gutsy side.
Yep.
And they don't give in. The momentum switches in the game were amazing. But I think the Melbourne Storm learned a lesson. If you play in West Tigers colours, you play like West Tigers. What were they doing in that jersey? I know it was Indigenous round, but black and gold from purple, give me a break.
Very good. Now, we saw it in your Manly game. DCE fell over, and there's no doubt that he fell over, took a dive. But they've now set the line in the sand, and we hope moving forward that if the, we now know if there's any sort of contact, that it's a no try. So it's the lead runner's job to make sure there's no contact.
Without a doubt. I mean, I agree with you. He took a dipsy doozy.
Yeah.
But once you saw it and you saw it happen, you knew that what they've said in recent times is that it was going to be denied. You cannot go on the inside shoulder.
Yep. Yep. Totally.
And that's where the contact was, and it didn't surprise me. I thought some pretty poor refereeing in that game. The pass by Tom Trbojevic that ended up in George Tafua scoring, I mean, it was so far forward that I said, oh, what a shame that pass was thrown. And they allowed the try. I mean, there wasn't a person in that ground, 41,000 people, that thought that was not a forward pass. I mean, how the touchy's got it wrong, how the ref's got it wrong is beyond me. The steal from George Tafua, that ball was sitting there, I thought it was forced, and Nikarima grabs it, runs away for a try. I thought, there were a couple of tries in that game that I thought were pretty ordinary decisions in the game, but
Saw the couple of tries in the Dragons-Sharks game similar. With the technology we've got now, they can go upstairs quickly in the bunker and check these things, can't they? I know that the rule says you can't look at forward passes, but it happens almost every week.
Well, forward passes, I don't think it's going to help you, sort of because of the way the game's played and where the pass is thrown, and they're talking about hands going forward and ball frame. Like the touchies, if they're up with a play, should be able to make a good call on that, and the referee that is at the ruck. They should be able to get that better. I mean, they get the tiny little ones that don't matter around from dummy half, but they're missing out on the ones that are going to tries,
exactly.
And that's where I think the fans have got a problem.
Zorba, we've got a situation where Des Hazard says at the press conference if he had to guess, he'd think Cooper Cronk's going to Newcastle. Now, you're hearing differently?
I just think it's tailor-made for the Bulldogs. I don't have any inside knowledge. I just know that Cooper wants to coach a bit, and he would love to, if he couldn't coach under Bellamy, he'd love to coach under Des because they're almost clones. He could partner Kieran Foran. He could coach one of their junior rep sides, or they're probably not their 20s while he's playing, but go straight into a coaching job. If you remember, Ricky Stewart did it at the Bulldogs, and he ended up and is one of the great coaches of the game. They're a club that can get the third-party load-ups to carry two $1 million players. Foran's on $950,000, which is including of his third parties, I understand. The same sort of deal for Cooper Cronk. They could unload a couple more players, a couple of their forwards that are on the wane but would be picked up, like Cassiano, like Eastwood, those sort of players, maybe Graham, and then get Cooper Cronk and for Foran together, and I think you'd see the Bulldogs on the way back. I think that could be a scenario at the Bulldogs. Not a lot being said about it. As I said before, I don't have any inside information, but knowing Des like I do, I'd be surprised if he's not scheming something in that area.
Well, the inside information I have is that George Mimas is the manager of both Des Hazler and Cooper Cronk, and I know for a fact that Des asked 2 years ago the Melbourne Storm whether he could get Cooper Cronk, and he'd give the Storm two players. So it's clear that he's been on the radar for quite some time, as you would expect. Righto, let's go to your Zappers, mate. What do you got for us?
Well, it's interesting. Some teams play well against certain teams. Now, last year, the Knights and the Raiders, would you believe they went to Golden Point both times?
Yeah.
And the Raiders were on fire last year.
Yes.
What's the start in that game?
14.5.
Mm. Okay, we're going Knights.
Okay.
We're going Knights with 14.5.
Right.
And they let me down when I tipped them in Auckland. Should have gone better. They were poor. I'm going to go for the Eels with the start. What's the start in that game?
5.5.
Ooh, I would like a little bit more.
Well, you can't have a little bit more. That's the start.
Okay, well, I'll go Knights at the start, 14.5.
Yeah.
Into.
What about you go Roosters 1-12?
Okay, what's that paying?
Stand by.
Live radio at its best here.
Hang on, where we go? Roosters under 37.
I'm standing, but you can't see me.
275.
Okay, that'll do us. That's nice.
Okay. All Roosters
right.
1-12.
14.5 into the Roosters 1-12.
All right, 1-12. All right. Nice work.
Oh, good. And my greatest comeback?
Yes.
Yeah. Alan Langer, when he came back from Wyoming.
Oh, yes. Good one. Brilliant. Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that Bennett would bring him back, and he killed us. I think it was at ANZ Stadium in Brisbane.
You're spot on. Yep. You're absolutely spot on.
Good one, Saul.
And I've heard Brad Fittler and Ryan Girdler talk about a story. They were sitting on, went into one another's room or something, sitting on the bed, and they said, something doesn't quite feel right about today. That was game day.
You're kidding.
And they got absolutely smashed. Yeah. The great Langer was back. Good on you, Zorb. The great Zorb
okay,
will
boys.
Be back next week.
See you, Pete.
Talk to you, boys. Bye.
Peter Peters there. Oh, I've meant to tell him about Kinesi. Anyway, we'll tell him in the ad break. 1353-53, the overline number. A break and back with more.
Sky Sports Radio presents some of the best country racing.
Stampede still in front. Life bless Audrey. I don't think we'll pick it up, will it? Stampede is in front. The post is looming. Stampede all of the way in the Wagga Gold Cup.
The Wagga Cup carnival might be over, but this Friday we're back for the testing 2,500-metre marathon. Race morning at 10, catch the tips from John Storrs, followed by all the racing action from Wagga on Sky Sports Radio.
If you buy a new washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver you a new washer free, we'll unbox it and unpack it free, we'll take away the packaging free, and Mum will take away your old washer free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miele. See in store or bingley.com.au for full details.
Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy. Die Hard. All of them.
Huh. Okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Well, there's Wildfire. She's a great filly. Oh, and there's Black Truffle. She's a proven galloper. And you can't forget Suave Fella. He always powers home. I mean, that's like...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love into one price. And if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Adam Harvey and Becky Cole come together for the Great Country Songbook Volume 2. Featuring all your favourite country duets. From two of Australia's most loved performers.
We're going to Jackson. We've got tonight, baby.
Adam and Becky touring for a limited time only. Album out now.
That is what we are.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Great day at Scone yesterday, but this stable, Jimmy, had a great day at Scone and at Doomben. Peter Snowden's been good enough to join us. And good morning, Pete. Congratulations firstly on the wins at Scone with France, but in particular... Red Cells win in the Doomben 10,000. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Ray. Jimmy, how are you? No, it was a good day, guys. No, it was a well-deserved win by a very honest horse that's been knocking on the door for a feature win, and he got it yesterday.
And the market could split them, but you couldn't split Red Cell and Russian Revolution. Is that right, Pete?
No, true. They've both gone up in good form. They both drew good gates, both handled softish conditions. And I got to be honest, I was going for the uncult. I thought he just had the edge class over Red Cell, but... The old warrior pulled through, and he was superior yesterday.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, Pete? Probably 12 months ago, and I hope I've not been disrespectful to Red Cell with connections, but he probably wasn't a Group 1 sprinter, but he's just got better and better and better.
No, that's a pretty fair comment, Ray. It was frustrating, actually, when we started off with him as a three-year-old. He showed so much ability, but he just wasn't producing race day. But it wasn't until a bit of frustration and disbelief in what he was doing, we decided to let him run one day, and here he was the one. He was riding work a lot, just saying to me, now we need to try something. Maybe just let him run might be the making of the horse. And from that day onwards, he's never run a bad race.
Amazing.
He was jockey's all right sometimes, but.
Oh, hang on, that's a stunning admission. We'll cut that up here and use that as a play on, Pete.
It was a good result yesterday.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Well, you know, it's like any sports person. When you see improvement, then you don't put any handbrakes on them. Where do you go now with Red Zill?
He'll have a break now, and they will look towards the autumn with him. The spring,
right.
And he's job done now. It's the stretch into 1300, 1400 at Stradbroke is probably a little bit too far for him when he's got so many riches heading towards Melbourne, the early part of the spring. So he loves Melbourne, he loves Moonee Valley, he loves those short courses, and nice little break now, and having him in good order for the spring.
What do you make of Russian Revolution, Pete?
Yeah, he's just own worst enemy again. All the talent in the world. He's a very, very gifted sprinter, but he's just got to learn to settle. Even when he had a perfect sit behind Red Zill and the pace steadied, Red Zill had an easy couple of furlongs, and Red Zill switched off and just idled the motor as this bloke just kept hammering, and he was pulling Kieran's arms out, just burning energy for no reason. And he's just got to learn to get that out of his game. But in saying that, I might be doing the wrong thing with him as well. He's a very, very fast horse. Maybe he's better letting him stride and hopefully with a bit of racing, he'll settle better if he's given his head, and he can bring him back rather than trying to get him from the start to settle, because it's just not working what we're doing at the moment with him. He's a really good colt, and I think he's probably one of the most gifted spinners I've ever had. But just trying to get it all the ducks to line up and just do everything right at that level, you can't afford to make a mistake. And you're just making mistakes down the spring, undone.
I understand. Both horses now, one group ones, you saw them. Are they potentially horses you could look at the Everest with, Pete?
Well, there's been, I dare say, there'd be a lot of owners last night would have been talking Melbourne Cups and everything. Because look, you've got to look at it realistically. I never would have thought in my wildest dream he'd be saying in that sentence, but I've had a few people approach me with tickets, with slots, to say that they're prepared to back him. So it's not out of the question, Ray, but it's probably not a target race for him, but you wouldn't rule it out.
Yep.
All right, let's have a look at the run of France and the win yesterday. Geez, there was a lot happening. There's a lot happening in the build-up to this race, but just an incredible burst of speed that the horse was able to show. And it's been a feature of the Colts racing thus far, Pete?
It has, Ray. Jimmy, he's always been a slightly raced horse, but always shown a lot of abilities, best preparation, and some good runs there against the good horses. First up this time in, he just raced. I want him to sort of, he always had a habit of being a bit slow to jump, so I told Christian to give him a bit of a kick out of the gates, but he just exploded out, just got running way too hard. He led, but just rode his race upside down. Yesterday, with the outside draw, we let him sort of go back and running quiet. We just switched off beautifully and relaxed really well, and even though he was back a fair way, you could tell he had a fair bit to offer in the straight, but trying to get into a clear passage was end up proving very difficult. He found more trouble than Speed Gordon. He was even the stable mate. You got tangled up with him when the horse inside of him come out onto Calandra, and Calandra duck out onto him, and very, very close, very nearly brought him down. So it was a good effort to pick himself up and come again in only short time from the wing post to put his head in front and win.
Mm. And Calandra, Peter, I know Paul had, he wasn't frustrated, but he said just a couple of little things are going wrong with him at the moment as well.
Yeah, he raced a bit cleanly yesterday, had no cover and pulled a bit hard back in the field. He just didn't switch off well enough to sort of give him that chance to finish off. But in saying that, his run was still good. I wouldn't have bought Brisbane with him. I think the Fred Best Classic is a perfect race for him up there in a couple of weeks. So both horses will probably head that way. Mm-hmm. But the target for France will be definitely the Guineas over a mile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just for some interested owners, Pete, got to get an update on the 2-year-old colt, the Hinchinbrook Rose Tinted. Any update?
Oh, he's flying, mate. He's got a belly on him as big as an elephant. He's doing enormous out in the paddock.
That's it?
That's it.
Right, okay. All right.
Still trying to get back to sleep.
Righto. Matty King, you can go back to sleep. There you go. You've got your update. Good on you, Pete. I really appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Guys.
Well
yeah,
done.
Commodore.
Well
thanks
done
so
yesterday
much,
with Red Zill and France as well.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks.
There
you.
He is, Pete Snow. He's giving us an update there on...
Are you in that horse?
Yeah.
Oh, here you
yeah,
go.
Oh, yeah, I'm
Have
in
you
it.
Named it yet?
No. There's a name flying around that there's a bit of a story to. Wackley.
And that means...
Well, Ray, it's a family program. So
oh, okay.
We would have to do that off air, and then I would tell you exactly why Wackley
is currently the favourite.
Get through to the keeper?
Well, Tiny, that he's talking about, Matty King, who's the managing owner, holds a managing interest. He has great visions of being a magnificent sire at stud. And he said, you can't call a sire Wuckley. But apparently, I think the majority is going to win.
I think the Wuckley.
So there you go. Ray and Jimmy, how about Mick Doohan's comeback from nearly losing a leg to go on and win five world titles? Shows his strength of character. A true world champ. He tips me hat. Manly man Elf. Yeah.
I've forgotten the obvious one.
What's that?
Handyman at French's Forest. Comebacks, they don't get any better than Steve Bradbury.
Oh.
We forgot the obvious one. The Bradbury. Part of the vernacular.
The Bradbury. There you go. John's on the line. Wants to extend one as well. G'day, John.
Morning, Jimmy and Ray. How are we, boys?
Really well, mate.
One of my greatest comebacks I've seen is the champion pacer pop their arm at Mini Valley. Come back from fracturing or breaking his leg. And a year or whatever later, come out and won the Winfield Cup. I was there that night and they had all welcome back Poppy signs up and tears just stood up your neck. It was amazing watching what he did.
I reckon 84, I reckon, top of my head, John.
Yeah, roughly. I don't know the year exactly, right, but it was just amazing. They had all signs everywhere and the kid, and it was just he was on all the news and it was just he was the biggest thing at the time in harness race.
He's still the greatest pacer I've seen.
He's a champion.
Phenomenal. Remember the day he beat Gamma Light in the Winfield Cup, I think it was, whatever it was called. Victoria Cup at Mooney Valley. He sat outside Gamma Light and went straight past him, beating by 40 metres.
Really?
Yeah. Gamma Light, the battles him and Gamma Light had over the years were amazing. Two different type of horses. Like, Gamma Light was always under the stick all the time. Mm. Hard driven, like, you'd earn it. Like, nowadays, only you about it, or you'd be in trouble. But, they were both great battles and both champion horses. But that was an amazing comeback to that horse.
Good call from John. What about two CDs going John's way?
You're unbelievable, Ray. What do you think? We're made of CDs, mate?
Popular Arms, one of the all-time
greats. We actually are.
I'll just give a cheerio there, too, boys, just to congratulate Andrew Darwin from Albury and just what he did yesterday with Toro. Couldn't go look to a nicer bloke. Andrew, he's a real gentleman. I said, you go a long way to find a nicer bloke than Andrew, and what he did with that horse yesterday was a great effort. So, he's probably on the road coming down now, but congrats, Andrew. It was a great effort.
He knows every frequency between Goulburn and Albury, so he's going to listen to the program. Good on you, John. That's a great call.
Stay on the line, John.
CD's coming your way. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. After the break, we've got the Z&Z quiz, we've got Phil Moss, and we've got your calls.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Rosie, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
Run into Penrith Mazda for an amazing end of financial year deal on a new Mazda. Penrith Mazda has over 300 new cars in stock and over 50 utes on display in their Mazda Ute Centre.
6 acres.
And you can exclusively reveal on the show, can you?
Exclusively revealed that on the
program. Did you walk around the whole...
Oh, I did, yeah. I was paced it out with one of those.
Anyway, this means that Penrith Mazda, you get the best selection and the best prices on a new Mazda on all those 6 acres of lots down there.
If you find a Mazda on that 6 acres, you get the best price on it.
So, come in and see the Mazda specialists. But hurry in before their amazing run-out deals run out. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. I can understand that. They're family-owned and operated. Great people at Penrith Mazda. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
To become the most prolific goal kicker in Premiership history, Cameron Smith. And he sends it over. And this wonderful player has kicked more goals than anyone else. 943 now.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
So it's not the bunker, it's goal kicks. We're doing play-ons with, but anyway. Now, Ray, there was a time when this
our next guest used to come into the studio.
He's probably still celebrating Sydney FC's remarkable win.
Yeah, well, that's right. We haven't had a chance to speak of that. Good morning, Phil Moss.
And a very good morning to you too, boys.
Good morning, Phil.
Phil, can I just ask, why aren't you in the studio?
I could make up a lot of stories, Jimmy, but I'm just going to go with the man flu, mate.
Man flu.
Tell you the truth.
Yes, okay. You don't sound 100%.
I don't want to spread the germs in the office, mate, in the studio.
No, that's fair enough. You can even hear it in his voice.
I'm thinking of you two, and Jeremy, and Tanya, and everyone else that puts this great show on a Sunday morning. I don't want you spending the week in bed.
He's part of the team, Phil.
There we go. Yeah, golf clap for Phil Moss. I can't help but think it might have been a couple
it's
of days
here,
on the pen and ink celebrating Sydney FC. Am I right or am I right?
No. I had, just back to work Monday morning for me. But I did partake in a couple of cold ones after the game with the Fox Sports crew to celebrate what was a wonderful season.
And what about the game?
Wonderful grand final.
Yeah. And Phil, what about the game itself? It mightn't have been technically the best game of football you ever seen, but in terms of tension and it was nail biting stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible, Ray. And look, I was inside the stadium, sitting in Rose Z, taking it all in as a fan on the day. And the tension inside that stadium was incredible. Mm. And it was exactly what you want from a grand final. It was tight, it was torrid.
It was willing.
It was tense. Yeah. You never knew what the result was going to be until the last kick of the game, which happened to be in a penalty shootout. So it had all the drama that you'd hoped for, unless you were the two coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably aged about 20 years in 120 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to some news. John Aloisi, he's been so impressive up there with the Brisbane Roar. He's been rewarded with an extension?
Yeah, he has, Jimmy. 3-year extension for Johnny Aloisi, and I would assume that means for his brother Ross as well. Look, they've done a good job since they've come back, and I've gone public with my belief that Johnny really bounced back from what was a tumultuous time down at the old Melbourne Heart when he lost his job down there, and he's reinvented himself and come back strong with Brisbane. I think... My personal opinion is Brisbane underachieved a little bit this year for the squad that they had. I mean, it was chock full of internationals and experience. You just look at their front line of Barillo, Holman, McLaren, Broich at the back, Jade North, Devere in goals, Theo. So they had plenty of quality players. And they finished third, but it was 7 points behind Melbourne Victory. I thought they were capable of much better than that, and then obviously they went out in the grand final qualifier against Melbourne Victory as well, so they're losing a lot of that front line, in fact all bar Holman, so it's a massive off season coming up for Johnny Aloisi to recruit well and try and better what they did this season.
Interesting that Popper hasn't wasted any time in trying to renew or rejuvenate the Western Sydney Wanderers list either, Phil.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. We're up past the 70 player mark now. Gee. In 5 seasons that have come and gone. We saw the last foundation player in Shannon Cole depart after the ACL game midweek. So, another rebuild on the cards. And after the season they've had, it wasn't good enough for Western Sydney Wanderers. Tony Popovich will know that. And he'll be doing what he does in the off season, but he'll have to start quickly and make sure that everything's bedded down before round one, because they need to get off to a flyer next season. There's no doubt about that.
Geez, they'll have to hold the reunions in big rooms, won't they? If players come back 10, 20 years' time, there's players everywhere.
That's right. Interestingly, Mitch Nichols, I thought that was the...
he's a gun.
Yeah, that's right. I was surprised that, it was just sort of announced that he was being let go. There was no real... announcement of where he's going, whether it was his decision or the club's decision. But certainly your captain in Dimas and your vice captain in Mitch Nichols both gone. Martinez and Tonis, the two players who are on loan that the Wanderers were desperate to keep, that doesn't look like it's going to go their way. So they've certainly seen a lot of quality walk out the door.
Mark Milligan, back to the A-League?
I don't think so, Jimmy. From his comments in the media over the weekend, it looks as though he's at Benny Yass in the Middle East, and they've just been relegated. So he's looking for a new club, but he's stated that his preferred option would be to stay in the Middle East because his family has settled there, or Asia, rather than come back to the A-League. He's been in the A-League for a long time. He knows what it's all about, but obviously he's keen to stay abroad for now.
And Phil, a couple of good signings here. Sydney FC have re-signed Matty Simon, great news. And Adelaide have made an interesting signing.
Yeah, that's right, Bubba Diawara. First of all, Semo, great signing for Sydney FC. He's been wonderful this season off the bench, except for his role in what was a well-oiled machine, as we all know. But he's just a great guy to have around the dressing room. He's a winner. He knows how Graham Arnold thinks and what he wants. And, you know, a couple more goals next to his game would have been nice, of course, but I'm sure that'll come next season with another season in Sky Blue under his belt. With Bubba Diawara at Adelaide, I think that's a crucial signing. They haven't got a coach yet, but there's no doubt that Diawara made a huge impact when he was signed in the January transfer window, along with the Korean Kim. If they can tie him down as well, then that'll be a very good start to their off-season recruiting campaign.
All right. Now, three games remaining in the EPL for this round. I think it's the second to last or third last round. Can you give us a tip here for the listeners?
Well, I've got in my multi, which we're two down from three, I back Chelsea into Man City, into Spurs, getting over your mob, Jimmy. So my apologies for that, mate. But Chelsea and Man City have already got the points. So we need Spurs to get over Manchester United tomorrow morning, I believe it is. Look, it's a race in three for the first spot in Champions League qualifying. 3 points separates Arsenal, Liverpool and Manchester City. It's a real great climax to the English Premier League season. There's so much on the line, and of course Hull trying to avoid the drop, but I don't see it happening. They've got Crystal Palace away and Spurs at home, so I think they will go down, particularly after that result Swansea overnight, getting the 3 points.
That's the most tokenistic apology I think I've ever heard. However, I've almost resigned myself, Phil, to the fact that I will be owing you and Ray Thomas a carton of beer, a carton each. But what would fill me with a great deal of satisfaction is that Liverpool would miss out on the Champions League, but then Manchester United would qualify because they win the Europa Cup.
Mate, we can all dream, Jimmy. That would be... I think you're talking about great comeback, don't you?
Well, I don't care how they get there. Very good. Look, now get over that man flu.
Sorry, I will, mate. I'll look after myself. But just on your note, it would be great to see Manchester United get up in that Europa League final. A good friend of mine, Nigel Bramley, is flying over there. He's just booked his tickets over the weekend, so it should be a ripper of a game.
Yeah, well, don't worry. Everyone in your family supports them except you. So
Phil saw the light.
He's a statistical outlier. That's what he is, Phil Moss. Good on you, Mossy. We'll speak next week.
Get well, Phil.
Off to my deathbed. Thanks, guys.
Get well, mate.
There he is, Phil Moss, with all the latest from the world of football. We've got a couple of callers here before we get to the ZNZ quiz. Jeff is on the line. I think he's going to talk about the Dragons. Hello, Jeff.
G'day, State Rail. G'day, Bradley. How are you?
How are you, Jeff?
Come on.
I'm very reluctant to criticise referees because they've got a really tough job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On Friday night, if we look at the statistics between the St George and Cronulla game, and Jimmy, you obviously work for Fox and you watch a lot of games. How often do we see a side control a game, tackles, tackle bust, line breaks, all of that sort of stuff, right? How often do we see, when they lead those statistics, how often do we see them lose a game?
Very rarely.
One in 50.
Okay. As I said, I'm reluctant to blame referees because they've got a tough job. I saw two of the most disgraceful decisions on that game. Do they understand that it's people's livelihoods here?
Oh, yeah. Jeff, and they're doing their best. If you want to blame someone, blame the touch judges. They've got a really easy job and they can't seem
Jimmy,
to get it right.
You know what? I very rarely agree with you, right?
Yeah.
But that forward pass wasn't in the middle of the park.
No, it was exactly.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Harrigan on Triple M said that he thought he was... And I mean, Bill Harrigan's obviously been a great referee for a long time. Thought he was watching the NFL.
Yeah, I know, Jeff. And Jeff, we've got to keep moving, mate. I know we could talk about referees all day, but they did get it wrong on Friday night, and I don't know why touch judges can't help their team.
I know you hate it, Jim, but why can't they just go upstairs quickly? Just check it. It takes 2 seconds with the technology now. Everyone saw that, except the referees and the touch judges and the bloke in the bunker.
The most important bloke.
Just check it.
13:53:53. Hello, Ronnie.
Morning, Jim. Morning, Ray. How are you?
Very well, mate.
Yeah, remember Nick Tullock from earlier?
Yes.
That was my standout.
This is Ron from Moree. Yeah, how are you, Ron?
Yeah, I'm really well, Ray. Thanks, yeah. Mate. You got halfway up there anyway yesterday. But, I've got that a tape, you know, videotape on that Tullock.
Mm.
And, when it got crook, he was going to die. And Percy Sykes was the one that, you know, got a back racing.
Yes.
The late great. Mm. And, that's how good that horse was. When Smith, when it made its comeback, he didn't put it in an easy race. He put it
up against Lord,
Melbourne's champion, late for age horse, Lord.
Yep.
Mm. And what an epic struggle, as you mentioned, right up the straight. It was the Queen's of Stakes, actually.
Yep, one of the great races.
Yeah.
And he would have won on protest if he'd lost, you know.
That's right. Lord came out and collided him. Great horse, Tullock.
Yeah.
Jim, one of the all-time
greats. One of the all-time greats. Thanks, Ron. Just recapping part of the program that we've had. 1353 53 is the open line number. Call now for the quiz if you'd like to be a part of it. Score update.
It's 12-6, your wager.
Call now. 1353 53.
Harvey Norman's massive clearance outlet is open 7 days. It's the only one in Sydney, and it's at Mascot. Full of manufacturer's seconds, ex-display stock, scratch and dent, factory refurbished units, and end-of-line run-out models. It's all cheap, 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 and price to clear. Fridges, washers, TVs, computers, furniture, bedding and flooring, and lots, 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 lots more, lots more. Harvey Norman's clearance outlet, Gardeners Road, Mascot.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with App Connect and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Plus, for a limited time, it comes with free 8-speed auto. Offer ends June 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Now, here is a chance of a lifetime, your opportunity to be trackside at either Royal Ascot or, for the more adventurous, South Africa for the running of the Group 1 Durban July. It is their version of our Melbourne Cup. Some last-minute tickets have become available, and they certainly won't last. So we were talking about this earlier. Tickets available. Get in fast. No one does racing better than Ambassador Travel. All the details are looked after, from flights, transfers, accommodations, tours, to VIP tickets to the track. We heard from Greg Radley at Churchill Downs. That was an Ambassador Travel tour. Depending on your choice, you could be rubbing shoulders with the Queen and celebrating 300 years of English tradition, or choose South Africa and be roaming the wild on safari in Kruger National Park amongst lions, elephants and leopards.
You can't go wrong either way.
It's a good trip either way, isn't it? Both trips feature exclusive access to the world's most famous stud farms plus sightseeing tours. Don't miss out. Call Ambassador Travel on 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
And here comes Satono Diamond and Cheval Grand. Kittison Black. Kittison Black by 2, starting to shorten stride. Cheval Grand, Satono Diamond. Kittison Black still leads. Satono trying to get there. Kittison Black, Satono Diamond, Cheval Grand. Kittison Black holds on and goes back to back.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. ZNZ quiz time, Jimmy.
Woohoo!
Check quickly.
12-6.
Yes, too good, you. But the comeback, this is the theme of the day, and the comeback starts right now.
Wayne in the
Central Coast is playing me. Wayne, good morning.
How you going?
Terrific, mate, and you're part of the comeback, Wayne. Here we go. We'll get all three right. Question number one. Which team led the NRL in line breaks after round 9? Was it the Seagulls, the Storm, or the Dragons?
Dragons.
Now, we've managed to have a ZNZ quiz without any controversy so far this season.
One question is...
There's a problem here. There's a massive problem. We've got to give this to Wayne.
No. Hamish has got the right answer. It's Sea Eagles is the correct answer.
Well,
but producer Jeremy has put Dragons in red type as well, which usually signifies the answer.
What's the correct answer?
The correct answer is Sea Eagles. So Wayne,
wrong. We've been robbed, mate. Seriously.
Oh,
there's already a controversy.
They have it. They have it. Wayne didn't know that the two answers were written in red.
I did. I knew it.
Righto, Wayne, we're getting back on track here. Which team led the NRL in errors after round 9? The Cowboys, the Panthers, or the Sharks?
Wayne,
still there, Wayne?
I'll be on Panthers.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. You could feel that the Panthers was the name written in red this time, Wayne.
I didn't see that one, but...
Okay. Question number 3, Wayne. How many medal events will be contested in Nordic combined at the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang? How many medal events will be contested in Nordic combined? 3, 4, or 5?
Nordic events. I'll go 5.
Just 3. Do you reckon Wayne's been overdone, boy?
Yeah, bad luck, Wayne. Pack 'em, buddy. Brucey, baby.
No.
You with us, Brucey?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, here we go. We need 2 to win here. Question 1. Which team led the NRL in offloads after round 9? Was it the Bulldogs, the Dragons, or the Tigers?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say the Dragons.
Oh, Brucey, come on, buddy. Keep
precious
it positive, mate. Question 2. Which team led the NRL in kicks after round 9? Was it the Warriors, the Storm, or the Roosters?
We're coming down the wire here. Hang on.
Brucey, baby. How many medal events will be contested? Don't worry, I share your enthusiasm for these questions, Bruce. How many medal events will be contested in alpine skiing at the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang? 9, 11, or 13?
Where's Pyeongchang?
Oh, that's not the question. That's where the Winter Olympics is being held.
In South Korea, yes.
South Korea,
around
right.
9.
Gee, it's a clean sweep. All wrong.
You.
Brucey, baby.
Wayne, are you still there? Hey, Wayne, are you there?
Yeah.
It's one of the great comebacks of all time, Wayne. You've pulled this one off, mate, despite the controversy at the start. Outstanding stuff.
Should have been
2-0.
Exactly.
Wayne, who cares, mate?
Hey,
you won, Wayne, 1-0, so don't get ahead of yourself. Who's your team,
Wayne?
Oh, South Sydney.
Fantastic.
Good on you, mate. You're just
South Sydney Rabbitohs watch coming your way, courtesy of the great people at Z&Z.
Yep, beauty, no, that's great.
Good on you, Wayne. And the comeback has started, Jim Smith. Score check.
12-7. 12-7. Well done. Good work. Well done, Wayne. Stay on the line. We'll get your details for that. Time now to speak to...
The good thing about that is controversy avoided.
To a degree. Speaking of controversy, here's Dean Ritchie with all the latest controversies in the world of rugby league. G'day, Dino.
Good morning, men.
Good morning, Dino.
Yeah, sorry, we've got to fly into this. Shark signings. Gee, Dugan, that surprises me, especially at the money that's been talked about.
Yeah, they're talking $1 million, Jimmy. I am told, though, from reliable sources, it's not quite that much. It's around 900, so it's a little bit less than maybe, but certainly a healthy contract. Now, just on the Sharks as well, Jimmy, there is some suggestions that the Gold Coast are going to have a look at Ricky Latelli. At the moment, the Titans are saying there's no interest there, but that may change if Jared Hayne does move along after this season. So Titans certainly having a look at Ricky Latelli, and the Sharks look like they're in return looking at either Will Chambers or Dane Gagai. South also looking at Dane Gagai. He's got an option at Newcastle in his favour. He'd be after about $700,000 a year. But the Sharks do, of course, have some money in their cap, Jimmy, given that Jack Bird is going to the Broncos.
Well, Dino, $900,000 for Josh Dugan is fullback money, so I wonder what Valentine Holmes thinks of that.
It's a strange one, isn't it? He's a bloke that I would have thought that the Sharks wouldn't have gone near, not through much ability, just that Val Holmes is there. But whether they think, look, Val Holmes is on the wing, if we can get Josh Dugan, why not just keep adding to this wonderful roster that they've built down in the Shire?
They have, yeah. Hey, Dino, any update on Jared Hayne? Didn't look good yesterday.
No. The mail I'm getting to, Ray, is that he is going to withhold his decision on what he'll do next year until the 31st of May, basically, right to the death. So And funnily enough, May 31 is, of course, Origin 1. So if Jarrod does come out on that day and announce his decision, it'll be interesting, A, whether he's actually in camp, and B, if he's not in camp, the Blues, whether that does obviously take a lot of limelight away from the Origin game to be played on that same night.
If he's in the New South Wales side and he announces where he's going in the days or even the day leading up to the Origin 1, that is ridiculous. That is, if he announces it after the game, okay, but if he announces it before the game, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, it would take away. Let's be honest, Jimmy. The media would go into a frenzy, and I'm
part of
the media,
would.
So I'm not saying it's wrong, but it would certainly take away from the event. I'm hoping Jarrod, wouldn't do that to Origin. I'm also hearing, he may well be there. I know Laurie Daly is a huge fan of Jarrod Hayne.
Mm. Any team changes, Dino?
And there's not a lot. Raiders, the Knights Raiders game at Newcastle at 2:00. No changes to Newcastle or Canberra. Trent Hodgkinson still going around in reserve grade for the Knights. And then there's a 4:00 game. Roosters, Parramatta at Allianz Stadium. Latrell Mitchell in for the suspended Sean Kenny Dowell. The only possible change for Parramatta, Bevan French has got a niggling injury. He was named in jumper number 20, and they'll check on him this morning.
What's the situation at Manly? Bob Fulton, the Tim Cleary CEO, resigns. And then we have Chairman Penn coming out and saying, well, Bob will has a contract here till 2018 and we'll reassess at that point. What's your information there, Dean?
Look, obviously politics has always been prevalent at Manly. I don't think much has changed down there. The concern I've got for Manly is that they're just churning through these CEOs.
Mm.
Every year, and if you were an executive who was being targeted by Manly, would really want the job.